The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin.
What's up?
Live from Bar Canada, the D, downtown Las Vegas, on the morning after the first round of the National Football League draft. Oh boy. Before we get into all of that, let me just say, stacked show, Tim Murray, his thoughts on that. Paul Carr, Premier League, Chris Felica will join us, Jason Weingarten, Dan Bespris, best audio in the biz on the NBA. We'll get to all of it. Guardians update, we'll do it all heading into the last four games. But we got to start with the absolute madness of last night and the fact that, let me just say this, we know people who did great in the draft. We know people who got destroyed in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly, you and me, kind of, it ended up being a nothing burger. We just kind of...
Well, let me put it this way. Yesterday on the show, if you told me I would squeak out a few bucks, I'd be like, give it to me right now.
Remember, I asked some guests, I was like, you take a $1,000 win or loss right now and move on? And we got different answers for that? That's basically negligible loss for me. It's like a rounding error. Let's go through this one by one, and we'll obviously crescendo to the eighth pick in the draft, because that is where this went haywire. Caleb Williams goes to the Bears. He goes into a great situation because they would draft, of course, Roma Dunze at 9 later. So you have a wide receiver room. You always love the room with not only a Dunze, but of course, Keenan Allen, people forget, yep. DJ Moore. It's just a great situation for a guy getting pick number one that doesn't typically work out that way. You typically go to a really bad team. Not the case here with the Bears.
We never really talked about it on the show either, but like, did you catch all the stories about them like working out together? Like, I thought it was kind of, you know, getting ahead of yourself a bit, like Roma Dunze and Caleb Williams working out at like Bears facilities and stuff over the past few weeks.
Caleb Williams, my big takeaway from Caleb Williams last night was how he projected confidence. Like, that guy does not lack confidence whatsoever. Mm-hmm. He's like, I've been here before. Then Washington, and it was nice to hit a nothing but net elbow jumper to start off our draft betting. Jaden Daniels goes to the DC Skins, and he does it in a way that I don't think Washington ever wavered, quite frankly. And a week ago, I made my case as to why I never thought they wavered on that. Ended up getting that at a very low price when the market demanded that I actually bet it in a market that I had no intention of betting. Then the chalkity chalk continued. There were no trades at the top. Drake May went to New England at 3. Marvin Harrison Jr. went to Arizona at 4. And then at 5, Kelly, and this is where I thought, oh, this is going to be one of these epic drafts that I was so used to having for like 3 or 4 consecutive years. We used to bet the draft on a numbers game before any other before any other show on the network did. I really do. Like, that'll get lost in history. But we used to crush this draft back in the day. Years in a row. But Joe Alt goes to the Chargers at 5, plus 450. And that was the one where I just stuck to my guns about Jim Harbaugh said what he wants. He said he wanted to start the franchise with a cornerstone offensive lineman, a 10-year guy. Boom. There it is. Joe Alt, plus 450. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be a great draft. The other flyer was the intel on Roma Dunze going 6 to the Giants. That did not happen. They go Malik Nabers at 6. Then the Titans, who coveted an offensive lineman, they end up going with the second best offensive lineman by most people's draft boards, but really 1-2. They go J.C. Latham from Alabama, because if he couldn't get Alt, they would go Latham.
Yep.
And that one, it should be noted before we get to number 8. Remember that a lot of people, a lot of buzz on the Titans going wide out. And remember my story when I made my first bets at stations where I was like, wow, it's 7-1 and there's all this buzz. And I was like, wow, should I bet? And then I stopped myself and I'm like, this is the last position they need. They have DeAndre Hopkins.
That was one of the they got Calvin Ridley. Right?
Calvin Ridley, Treylon Burks, Westbrook Akine. That was one of the weirdest rumors of the entire draft.
Completely agree.
And they end up going offensive line.
I mean, and before we even get to the big one here, I mean, this was, where were all the trades, right? Like, we're sitting there all we're talking about for the past 2 weeks is all these trades that are going to blow up these top, you know, at least 3 through 5. They were surely going to come, and none of them came.
Yeah, by the way, at VSiN.com, Adam Burke does a wonderful job. What happened in the first round? Very simple title. What happened in the first round of the NFL draft? And he notes that by the end, there were 6 trades. by the end of the draft, by the end of the first round of the draft, but not at the top. And then I have no way of proving that this draft would have gone wildly different had this not happened.
I mean, surely Dallas Turner's getting drafted here now, right, Gil? Everything's going to script. Like, our night's about to get even better.
This pick, we'll get to the football in a moment, but this pick destroyed three of my picks in one fell swoop. It was Dallas Turner. It was under 4.5 quarterbacks when you knew this happened. That was toast. I think there was another under I had on a Dunze, something like that. Michael Penix Jr. to the Atlanta Falcons, the pick that shook up the entire 2024 first round of the NFL draft. What the what? The Falcons, who had just committed $100 million guaranteed to Kirk Cousins, two of those years guaranteed, go with Michael Penix Jr. out of Washington. And the world was just, when Schefter got on screen and said, they are thinking about a quarterback, and specifically Penix, everyone's mouth just dropped.
Like, what? Now, what are you talking about?
We're like, what is going on? Cousins' agent, Mike McCartney, told Pete Thamel from ESPN, he said the Falcons only notified the quarterback, Cousins that is, that they'd pick Penix while the team was on the clock. McCartney said there's frustration and confusion coming from Cousins' camp because Atlanta did not use its first-round pick to make the team better in 2024. Here's the quote. Yes, it was a big surprise. We had no idea this was coming. The truth is the whole league had no idea this was coming. We got no heads up. Kirk got a call from the Falcons when they were on the clock. That was the first we heard. It never came up in any conversation. Now, I want to be clear about this. By the way, see this little piece of paper right here? This is when I was making bets at stations. You know, they do that thing where they print it down. They're like, hey, do you want to keep this? Right, and I was like, no. Nah. Oh, yeah, let me keep it just in case. This is when I did. So what was this, 2 weeks ago? Less than 2 weeks ago? Position of Falcons first selection in 2024 draft, Kelly. Quarterback, 100-1. Right here.
I couldn't believe we even had the
100-1.
That's crazy. I can't believe DraftKings even had Falcons listed this short.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
I mean, why would you have them?
So let me be clear about this now. Now, could Michael Penix end up being a good NFL quarterback and a really good NFL quarterback, or even a great NFL quarterback? Yes. Let's hold two thoughts in our heads at the same time. So he might. None of us are that savvy enough to know what he will end up being. Remember, I was the guy, I think I was one of the lone voices who I was like, Jordan Love might actually end up being good because he's holding a clipboard for all these years. But it didn't make the Jordan Love pick good either, even though the way that it worked out for the Packers was that Aaron Rodgers ended up having two really good years right after they picked Jordan Love. That's not the point. The point is that, and I lean in for this, Kelly, the object of the NFL, not sure if you're aware of this, is to win a Super Bowl. So when you have Aaron Rodgers moving in age, up in age, right? The idea was you should probably improve the team, either offensively or defensively, to advance your cause towards that goal. Instead,
he had plenty of wide receivers. Come on.
Instead, what they effectively did was draft a guy who wasn't going to get on the field. Essentially, the Falcons are doing the same thing with Kirk Cousins. Imagine if yesterday the Jets had drafted a quarterback. Imagine, right? We would be losing our minds even more than this. But the truth is, this is the same thing.
It's the exact same thing. I was going to say. I mean, you just sunk all this money into Kirk Cousins, and at the age that he's at.
If you were going to do this, you should have never signed Kirk Cousins. Never.
Never. What's funny about it, this is the part I couldn't get over right away. Is none of this. We love Michael Penix Jr. You and I have talked about this for months, how much we love the guy. What both the Falcons and Vikings did, if I just did a time machine back to a few months ago, I'd be like, oh, well, this makes perfect sense. Surely J.J. McCarthy is going to sit there and back up Kirk Cousins for a year or two, and this is a great transition plan in Minnesota. But not when you've got a 24-year-old rookie quarterback in Atlanta that you're drafting to sit behind him.
After that, the draft just sort of became – when that happened and it killed three of my bets in one shot, I was like, oh, all I have left is Jacksonville to draft a corner for, like, whether I'm going to win or lose this draft in the end.
Would you like to hear the Falcons GM explanation on the pick?
Please.
We have that one.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Let's hear.
Fired up, man.
That if you believe in a quarterback, you have to take him. And if he sits for 4 or 5 years, that's a great problem to have because we're doing so well at that position. So it's just as simple as if you see a guy that you believe in at that position, you have to take him.
That's Terry Fontenot, by the way, Atlanta Falcons GM.
Got to take him.
No, you don't.
Oh, you don't. I don't. I know you don't.
Kirk. I mean, if you're Kirk Cousins sitting at home.
This is like
RG3 2012, right? Skins draft him. Second pick of the draft. Fourth round. They're like, we're going to take this Kirk Cousins guy to Michigan State, too. And RG3 is probably like, what? Now this is Kirk Cousins.
That's a good comp. This is worse. Right. This is worse.
This is way worse. Yeah. I'm just saying from a coming back to Kirk Cousins kind of perspective, right? Cousins had to be sitting at home like, We didn't improve. I thought we were trying to win a Super. What are we doing? What are you doing? You didn't help us? By the way, defensively? I mean, neither.
Right. I can't imagine thinking the call was serious. Whenever they got the call, I would have been like, stop joking. Stop. Like, it's draft night. This is a big deal. Stop joking around. Stop joking.
You can quibble. Like, I thought the Jets were going to draft Brock Bowers to improve, you know, to go for it. They ended up going offensive tackle. That's a fair debate. But you're still improving your team. This was just off the charts bizarro. It sent the draft into drunkenness. We'll get some other things, including the Raiders pick and that odd trade at the end with the Chiefs and the Bills. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of witty strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN Daily Newsletter. In today's newsletter,
lots of draft recap, Michael Lombardi's thoughts on the Falcons' big surprise, that and much more.
Picking up with the draft. By the way, we also buried a headline with the Falcons, too. Of course, they passed on Lamar Jackson, of course, right? To start this whole arc, if you will, of quarterbacks.
Right, yeah.
Remember, not only passing on him, but remember that day where we walked in here and all these NFL teams went out of their way to tweet that they weren't interested in Lamar Jackson?
Mm-hmm.
Falcons, I believe, the first among them. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Trust the glove. Today, no support for you and your Guardians. My buddy has a kid who pitches for the Braves, so I'm committed. Well, okay, that's fair. David Newell.
Fair reason. Fair reason for you to
write. That's okay. With Cleveland having a... Okay, we'll get to this Guardians thing coming up, I promise you. I have scenarios coming up as well. Trust me, you won't go to ESPN.com and see end of April scenarios. Those are exclusive right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN. David Newell, he says, with Cleveland holding a one-game lead for best record through April, but a significant underdog to the Braves for the upcoming series, do you think a partial hedge is in order? Bet the Braves to win the weekend series, ? Of course, a 16-win team could leapfrog everyone. I got it all covered, David. It's coming up. Las Vegas 514, he's a Skins fan. He goes, yo, you and I, my friend, should be excited for our team's future. Long time coming. Now can we upgrade the Washington War Room? I mean, really, LOL. Who had the, by the way, the Jacksonville Jaguars had the weirdest looking War Room. I was like, oh, maybe upgrade that thing.
I thought the Bears one was funny. It looked like Star Trek Enterprise up there or something like that.
I would like to, the funniest thing is, every war room congratulating each other after they make their pick.
Especially when you're the Chicago Bears and you know you're drafting Caleb Williams for how many months
Why did
now?
They use 6 minutes of the clock? Why?
Everybody's shaking. Hey, great work. Hey, Bob, great job over there.
When
great
Dallas
work.
Made their pick, Guyton, great work, everybody. By the way, here's my imitation of every GM after today's second-round pick. You ready for this? My imitation of every GM after today's second-round pick. We couldn't believe he was still on the board. That's my invitation.
Yeah, you're going to hear that a few times. Yeah. Yep.
Nicholas Griggs, maybe have O's on next year to give out his picks. Unbelievable. Apparently O's, Perlman.
I did not catch this.
Our old buddy who's been on this show, and if you all remember, somehow got damn Thunder Marley out of my brain,
couldn't
which still spooks
out
me out.
Steel Trap
Kelly Billy. Couldn't crack that cranium. Apparently, he picked the top 13 picks in the draft in a row. That was, the headline of this draft for non-bettors was, not only did we not have a defensive player picked in the top 10 for the first time ever, But the first 14 picks in the draft were all offensive players. There's never been a, forget the top of the draft, there's never been a run of 14 players from one side of the ball ever in a row at any point in any draft, let alone the top 14. That was historic yesterday.
Yeah, that was nutty.
I got to see that O's thing. Dan Peljet, he's got a parlay he wants me to talk about. Bruce Dobigan naming the Joel pick alter reality. I like that. Daytime degenerate. Now the Falcons may lose a draft pick for tampering with Cousins also. Well, that was a theory that my buddy was talking about. He was like, I think they picked Penix because they're going to lose draft picks. I'm like, that still doesn't justify it. Trip Tepper. Falcons front office should be charged with elder abuse for doing this to Arthur Blank. Passed on Lamar, passed on Belichick, gave Cousins $90 million guaranteed and a no-trade clause, drafted a 24-year-old quarterback at number 8 when you're in win-now mode.
Well, clearly Lamar Jackson just wasn't old enough. That's the issue, right? Like, they like a nice...
They do.
Atlanta's plan for winning is you got to be at least 30 years old.
I want them to be seasoned.
Seasoned, yes. Well-seasoned in the NFL.
Oops by Hoots. Next up on a numbers game, Wolf Blitzer with the CNN interactive map, but it's end of April win-loss MLB scenarios. Totally. It's coming, I promise you. Okay, back to the draft. So Odunze goes 9 to the Bears. Then we had our first trade. Jets traded out of 10. Minnesota was at 11. Obviously, they coveted J.J. McCarthy, and they were like, let's not take any more chances. Let's grab him at 10.
Which is fine.
Which is fine.
Right? They still waited and waited and waited. They didn't make any huge leap up to 4 or 5 or whatever. They got their guy right there at 10.
They got their guy. Then the Jets did not go Brock Bowers at 11. They went Fasciano. They went offensive line at 11. So good for them because you got to protect Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, got 4 plays in last year before the ruptured Achilles. So, yeah, I mean, you could quibble. I thought maybe they'd go Brock Bowers, but instead they go offensive line. That's fine. And then at 12. And let's shout out Michael Lombardi for this because he obviously had the intel on this, maybe from Sean Payton directly. Bo Nix to the Broncos. Now, remember the question I asked all guests the last couple of weeks. Which team is going to botch this draft? The answer is the Falcons, by the way. Nobody had the Falcons. I didn't have the Falcons either, right? But the Jets weren't answered. The Giants weren't answered. It's the Falcons. The Broncos could very well be the team that botched this draft because Bo Nix is the reach of all reaches. And Sean Payton, you know I've had only kind words for Sean Payton on this show, believes that he can make Bo Nix into a great NFL quarterback. We'll see. We'll see. I never watched Bo Nix for 1 second. I thought he was a first-round draft pick, let alone the 12th pick in the draft. 6 quarterbacks in the top 12. The last time 6 quarterbacks were picked in the first round of the NFL draft was 1983. It was the greatest quarterback draft of all time. John Elway went 1 to the Broncos. He turned out pretty good. Jim Kelly went 14 to the Bills. Pretty good. Dan Marino went 27 to the Dolphins. Pretty good. 6 in the top 12 here.
These are the same guys.
Same guys. Bo Nix, Michael Penix.
Same guys.
And then at 13, and I said, this is the best tweet I saw on this.
Can't wait for the Falcons to trade for Bo Nix in a few years.
The joke, someone who was at Will or somebody goes, Falcons looking to trade up for Bo Nix was the joke. So good. Twitter was great last night, or even texting. The other great one was on this Raiders pick. The Raiders then end up taking Brock Bowers. And there's somebody, I can't remember, I apologize for not giving credit, but someone was like, blank and auto pick, which is the best way to describe this pick. Brock Bowers going to the Raiders. Brock Bowers, great player. Don't get me wrong. Everybody loves Brock Bowers. But I said to my buddies, I was like, what are they doing?
Who's throwing him the ball again?
My buddy Tommy in D.C., he sends me, he goes, I don't know, Gil, it's a pretty good two tight end set. I'm like, they don't have the luxury to draft 13 for a two tight end set. What are you talking about? Brock Bowers, congratulations, you're a Raider. But this is why, like when we went over the offensive rookie of the year numbers before the draft, now Brock Bowers, instead of being 22-1, he should be 220-1.
Oh, yeah. Remember, we thought that was a great bet because we thought a team that, you know, with a quality offense was going to draft him, you know, whether the Jets or the Bengals. Yeah, 25-1 now, so you get a better number on that now.
And then the defensive players finally started at 14. Can I go down? Let's skip ahead because the Jaguars was my other bet. They were sitting there at 17. They had their pick of the litter of cornerbacks. I had the Jaguars draft a cornerback first. There was Quinyon Mitchell, and there was also Terrion Arnold. And they traded out. They traded down to 23. Then they also had, because Philly then took Quinyon Mitchell right before them, and they had Terrion Arnold right in their face, and instead they went Brian Thomas Jr., considered to be the fourth best wide receiver on the board. And then, of course, the Lions grabbed Terrion Arnold right after this. I got bookended by the two cornerbacks, and the Jaguars right in the middle lost. So it ends up being just this draft that started so promising went nowhere for me.
I was in the car trying. I felt so bad because I didn't even realize you lost that bet until until the draft was basically over. I was in the car coming home when they were selecting. I thought to myself, I'm like, well, Gil's going to get his cornerback. Surely.
By the way, the Rams ended up with Jared Verse at 19. When Jared Verse was shaking Roger Goodell's hand, he asked Roger Goodell, is this going to be live, real football, or is it going to be exhibition football like last year? That's exactly what the quote was. And then the drama at the end, you, Felica, and who was the third person who had the over on wide receivers? Zach Cohen. You had the over. Drew and
Matt Brown
had the under on wide receivers.
Never in doubt.
And it came down to the end. Surely they couldn't have been beaten the unders, right? But then Ricky Pearsall goes to the Niners and Xavier Legick, like it goes to the Panthers who trade in. By the way, the Panthers, you should be ashamed of yourself for trading up in a draft where you ended up trading out of one. Like you just should be, just on principle.
I agree. I mean, how bad is the NFC South? Jeez.
Oh, my God. But wide out 6-7 to close the round, and that prop determined by that. Oh, man. By the way, I want to shout out Mike Greenberg for one thing, too. He did a great job, I thought, when the Chiefs and Bills traded. I think we have the wrong Chiefs pick here. I believe we do on the board. Because the Chiefs ended up taking Xavier Worthy, right?
Yes.
We had the wrong pick up there. So the Chiefs and the Bills made a trade. The Bills traded out. So the Chiefs traded in and grabbed the speedster of the draft, Texas wideout Xavier Worthy. And Mike Greenberg did a great job of holding the panel on this. Like, he kept coming back to it. He goes, wait a minute, guys. You're not understanding what just happened. He didn't say it quite in those words, but he's like, let's stick on this. The Bills, who are wide receiver needy, just traded out to allow the Chiefs, the team that they are desperately trying to pursue all these years, to draft the fastest wide receiver in the entire draft. And I thought he did a great job of, like, getting the other guys on the panel, like, including Lewis Riddick and the other guys that were on there, to, like, focus in on how unbelievably ridiculous in the moment that seems.
Yeah.
And he cited McDermott and Reed having this great relationship. Who cares? The relationship hasn't worked out well. And here the Bills are just like, here, take Xavier Worthy. It's like the old Eddie Murphy Saturday Night thing. Go ahead, take the newspaper. It's just incredible, man. Incredible. What drama. We'll come back. Little NBA on the other side. It's a numbers game at VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada at the D, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. By the way, Kelly, we always, so many things we want to mention on the show, and then we'll go 2 hours and be like, oh, we forgot to mention. We've got to thank a couple listeners. Rod from Michigan, who gave us Canadian silver dollars this morning.
Yeah, it's been an absurd week here at the D, actually.
You needn't come bearing gifts, but we really appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you so much. It's so nice of everybody. And then we got to shout out Frank from Buffalo, who got us these T-shirts. A lot of people bring us T-shirts, but this one was, he had printed on the shirts an actual image of a walkover in tennis, somebody physically walking over somebody else. So those, we often get T-shirts and we're like, I don't know if I'll wear this. That one I'd wear. I'll wear
Town. I took a picture of it. We'll flash walkover. It up later in the show.
We'll flash it up.
I got to find that from you the other day. Like you said, we meant to bring it up every day.
So we apologize, but we've gotten so many nice gifts over the years, and everybody's so sweet. Trip Tepper, we get tweets of beating the book.
Oh, there it is, right there. There it is.
Oh, there it is. Throw that at tennis quitter. Walkover. There you go. Bang. Remember,
just need Allen Iverson.
If you're going to quit, there should be some shame involved. Trip Tepper on Twitter. Gil, you are so right. The cliche political posturing by the front office lemmings in every war room is peak artificiality. The backslapping and handshaking is all orchestrated for video shorts on the team's social media feeds. Raj Bhatti.
Wow. I mean, we were laughing about it. That's like pure anger.
He's like, I'll tell you why they do it. Raj Bhatti. That pick pushed Bowers down to the Raiders and took them in a different direction than what they had planned. Hopefully, Bowers becomes what Waller was supposed to be. Well, Waller was great. He just got hurt, but I'm sorry. Let me do a Kelly Bidlin. I'm sorry. I don't care that it took him in a different direction. I still don't make that pick. Wolf named Wayne. I believe that was John Hansen, the fantasy guru, that made that auto draft comment. That was so great. Oh, blank and auto draft. That was awesome. Jason Stark, hey, Gil, do we know when NBA Defensive Player of the Year and Rookie of the Year are being announced? I can only find dates for the ones this week. Jason, we assume it's next week where we'll all get crushed by Wembanyama not winning Defensive Player of the Year. But you're right. The NBA guards this information like, you know, the nuclear code. So we assume.
All we know is the ones this week.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they'll put out a schedule on Monday. Daniel Coles, last night turned into the 2011 draft where the Titans took Jake Locker 8th, Jaguars took Blaine Gabbert 10th, and the Vikings took Christian Ponder 12th. You might very well be right. History will show. And then Nevada Azer, what? No love for Todd Blackledge? LOL. Talking about the 83 draft. Yeah, I stuck to the Hall of Famers, not the Ken O'Briens and the Todd Blackledges of the world. Or the Tony Eason's. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the co-host of VEASAN Prime Time each and every weekday night here, 6 p.m. on the network. He does it with Jonathan Von Tobel. His name is Tim Murray, and he joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Tim?
I'm okay. You know, we've had better drafts, but it is what it is. That's the beauty of gambling. So you win some, you lose some. We had a couple long shots that had a chance, and they didn't come to roost. So we move on, Gil. We learn from our mistakes, and we watch the tape. You know, whatever metaphor you want to put in there.
We watch the tape. He's going to go back and watch the tape of the draft unfolding on Cincinnati. I said at the beginning of the show, Tim, that it is without question. This is not a prisoner of a moment comment. It is without question the widest variance of draft results for bettors ever. Some people, I think our own Matt Eumanns, just destroyed the draft. He crushed it. Will Hill did very, very well. And then we know a bunch of guys who got crushed. So it is one of these weird drafts. What did you have that you thought was going to hit that ultimately did not? What were the big ones?
So the one that I really felt good about last night when I was on the air with Michael Lombardi and Femi of Ebefe was the way the first four picks fell. It gave hope to J.C. Latham going 5. So earlier this week, we had heard I had kind of got a little bit of a tip that Latham could be the pick at 5. Then I heard Daniel Jeremiah mention it on a podcast. And then it just really started to garner steam. And there was a shop in town that was offering 27-1 on Latham to be the 5th overall pick. So I grabbed it. It wasn't a massive play, Gil, but I mean, to have a 27-1 ticket, which closed around plus 300 or something like that. So I did have some alt there, but the way the first four picks went, I was of a strong belief that the Chargers weren't going to get an offer to get out of 5, even though everybody was just assuming the Vikings would go up and get JJ McCarthy at 5. So we were sitting there at 5 and I was thinking, oh man, we got a chance to hit JC Latham, you know, at 27-1. Obviously he goes 7, Joe Alt goes 5, still a good hit. You mentioned Matt Eumanns. Shouts to Matt. That was a great hit by him. Plus 475 on Joe Alt. And I think you had some of that too, right, Gil?
I had Joe Alt. Yeah, I did.
Yeah. I had a little alt, so it wasn't a losing pick for me. But I just, the, you know, when you've got an opportunity there, and my bigger bet was Latham under 14.5. So that obviously came home pretty easily, but you know, I mean, you know how it is, Gil, when you've got hope for a big long shot to hit, especially that early in the draft, that really, that really would have set the draft in a positive light, but you know, it is what it is. The other one that was that I thought had a chance, and you know, it was interesting because you know, Stations Casino here in town was the first to put up draft props, and then they didn't take down the team specific draft props until around 2 p.m. yesterday. I guess the rule is you have to take down player specific ones.
Oh, interesting.
So I didn't know that, and I checked my app.
We didn't know that either. It's the first time hearing that.
Well, so I checked my app, and I saw that they still had them up, and they had Rams first pick tight end at 14-1, and we started to really catch some wind that the Rams were looking to trade up to get a pass catcher, and I believed it was going to be Brock Bowers, and you could have got 8-1 on a wide receiver. So I was like, all right, I'll take some 14-1. And, you know, as that pick, as Bowers kept staying alive, I was like, wow, this could happen. They could trade up. Hell, they could just stay at 19 and get him. And then once he passed the Broncos at 12, I was like, I think they need to get ahead of the Colts at 15 to get Bowers. Never did I imagine the Las Vegas Raiders, who traded up to get Michael Mayer in the second round last year, would draft another tight end, but they did. So that was another one that I had some hope that ultimately didn't come to roost.
He was another guy. If we could only have had cameras at Kirk Cousins' house and Michael Mayer's house yesterday and get their live reactions to their respective teams' picks.
Gil, how about this? Yeah. I'll give you a little. So 2 years ago, Brock Bowers won, I think, what is it, the Mackey Award, I think, is the tight end of the year. And every Notre Dame fan was like, this is outrageous. Michael Mayer had such a better year than Brock Bowers. This is a crime. And now he's going to get screwed again because Brock Bowers is going to come and take his job.
By the way, I flashed this up earlier in the show, Tim. I don't know if you can see this, but this is Stations. Yep. I have Stations' actual paper printout of because what other kind of printouts are there? but this is them Falcons' first selection. This is not from yesterday, but 100-1 on a quarterback. Whew. Is what people could have gotten.
I do know that, and I don't know the exact number, but I know I was talking to Derek Stevens last night, and I think they had an okay night. I think overhitting on quarterbacks was good for Circa. Knicks and Penix going in the first round was good for Circa. But what was really bad was the tight end going to the Raiders, because that was a massive long shot. And I think, speaking of Stations, a buddy of mine had a 60-1 ticket on the Raiders to select a tight end. I think he got it yesterday. So,
Wow. Yeah,
I mean, there were some big bombs. Certainly when you think about Falcons to pick a quarterback with their first pick, Raiders to pick tight end, there were some big long shots out there to have.
Here's what I want to know, Tim. Does any of this, either from a future standpoint or season win totals in your head or offensive rookie of the year, does any of this induce a bet for you?
You know, that's a not initially. I do really like, and it's, I know everyone, oh, you're picking the Notre Dame guy, but I like what the Raiders have done now with their offensive line, right? I mean, you know, I know they've got questions at wide receiver, and I'm not saying that they're going to be a playoff team because they picked Joe Alt, but I think they've got some flexibility now. They've got some really good bookends on the corners of their line, and Joe Alt being, I assume he'll go to right tackle. I don't know that for sure, but that would be my guess, with Slater staying there at left tackle. But regardless, you've got a pretty interesting situation there. And look, I mean, you look at the quarterbacks, you know, I haven't looked at the numbers there, Gil, but our Washington Commies.
Yeah, baby.
You know, Jaden Daniels, they didn't mess around. They got a fascinating player. I would guess that he would be the second favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. And I think they're going to put the ball in his hands and say, let it fly, big fella. So
yeah,
I think Jaden Daniels, you know, I got to look at some prices, but I'd be intrigued by him at Offensive Rookie of the Year. Certainly with Cliff Kingsbury being his offensive coordinator, and they got some weapons for him to throw to. So I'm fascinated how, you know, Jaden Daniels fares as a rookie, just because he can do so much. And plus 650, I would definitely take a look at Jaden Daniels there.
Yeah, when Kelly and I looked at it a couple of days ago before the draft, obviously, that was one of the two that we had pinpointed. Brock Bowers, assuming that he had gone to the Jets, would have been the other, but that's off the board now. But Jaden Daniels was the other, absolutely. Great times in D.C. They retired Daryl Green's number yesterday and Jaden Daniels the next day. It's fantastic. Tim, thank you. We'll all be listening tonight, man. Appreciate it.
Hashtag raise hail.
Tim Murray, everybody. We'll get to the bottom of that coming up. Paul Carr on the Premier League next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game live from Bar Canada at the D, downtown Las Vegas. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Can you tell I'm stalling, Kelly? Can you tell?
Nobody could until you said it, Gil.
Well, I thought maybe you guys should know. This is a great promo going on at DraftKings. $5 to win $200. You bet $5, you get $200 instantly in bonus bets. You bet now at DraftKings. Great deal. But you have to use the promo code VSIN. It's promo code VSIN. Bet $5, get $200. New customers instantly. Bonus bets with the promo code VSIN. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. We also get texts. We also were like aware of other people's tweets that aren't directly to us. Drew Densick tweeted this. He said, "Think Fontenot is the only person on earth who had a worse draft day than I did." Drew tweeted that out. Cleve DM'd me. Cleve TA DM'd me yesterday. He said, "I was on a YouTube show when the eighth pick happened, and it's literally the most stunned I've been for a top 10 pick that I can remember. Just horrendous process. The guy is 24. By the time Cousins is out, he'll be 27 and no idea if he can play. It's incredible." And then Cleve tweeted this out this morning, and he's one of the best. Cleve Tay, one of the best football followers you could have. He tweeted out this morning. This is great because he had time to sleep on it. He said, "Woke still stunned at Penix to Atlanta. I've watched the draft since I was like 7 and can't recall a more flabbergasting pick. They knew they had the 8th pick and would be there when they when they courted and signed Cousins. It's not like he had a free fall into the 20s or something."
Correct.
Just all of it is inexplicable.
So like, yes, I mean, how long were they thinking and planning this?
It's incredible.
Also, if this didn't happen...
It's surreal to a point.
It really is. Yeah. One of the things I'm thinking about right now as you're reading what Cleve wrote you, would this have been kind of a boring draft if that didn't happen?
Sort of.
You know what I mean? Like, it kind of played out at the top.
Well, because we don't know how it would have gone had it not happened that way. Dallas Turner goes right. 8, right? And then everybody's like, you know.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah. I guess.
This is from Chris Jason. Buffalo should grab A.D. Mitchell today. No loss by trading down. Franklin and Kool-Aid also available. Here's the thing about A.D. Mitchell. Can we decide on what we're going to call him? Yeah, A.D. Mitchell. Then people say Adonai Mitchell. And then, of course, those on the leaflet and those in the mishpucha, we say Adonai Mitchell, which I think is how you really should pronounce it. Just want to say it right now. Just want to be clear about that. Michael, let's see. This is from Jack Locks. Had Penix to go in the top 5 at 200-1 and him in the top 10 at 17-1. Good for
Ooh,
you, man.
Hell, good for you.
And then Steven Vegas, when the Cousins signing to Atlanta happened, I beat MGM to the line moves on Cousins MVP and Atlanta Conference Championship. I'm the smartest guy in the room. Then I saw that Penix pick at 8 and cashed out both those bets at no loss. Thankful for that option. Atlanta will never win anything.
Wow.
That's Steven Vegas. I just want to say this before we get to Paul Carr. Here's the bow on the draft for me as a guy who loved betting the NFL draft. And for year after year after year, if only we had the tape to prove it, right? My pinned tweet is still me going after Will Hill for the bets. That was in 2018, right? We crushed the draft. 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022. Every year, every year. And then last year was a disaster. And this year there was no profit at all. And it coincides directly with the NFL becoming really tight-lipped about the draft. So now, can you have a year where you do really well like Matt Eumanns did, like Will Hill did? Yes, you can. But can you count on this being a tried-and-true, profitable, big-time sports betting vehicle year after year anymore? And I believe the answer is no longer. I believe that is over.
I thought the past couple of years have been interesting, and I think the talk around all that this year was really fascinating. We were talking about during the break. I don't even know what his final tally was, but I do want to make sure we bring this up. Matt Eumanns, on his mock draft article, his mock draft and best bets article, 9-1 on bets in that article. The only one he missed out on was a 9-1 shot for the Bears to draft a defense or offensive lineman with their second pick.
Good on you, Eumanns.
Killed it.
Paul Carr joined us, everybody. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R. Comes to us from the Extended Value Podcast. The Expected Value Podcast. That'd be a different podcast. The Expected Value Podcast. And, of course, True Media Networks. Paulie from Topeka, Kansas right here. I want your Dolphins perspective. And then because you're in Kansas, I want your Chiefs perspective. What do you got?
Dolphins perspective with my Dolphins friends. Like, Chop Robinson seems like a good player. I have questions. Look, I'm not a huge college football guy. But I don't know. If you're that good a pick, you only have 4 sacks. Your last season seems a little weird to me.
It's a good point, by the way.
I'm just asking. I'm genuinely asking. Like, it seems odd to me. The stats seem lower, but again, I'm fine with it. The Dolphins need an edge rusher among.
Well, he's a linebacker though, isn't he? I mean, that's right. Part of it, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. It's probably usage as much as anything. Now, my Chiefs friends were super excited. The best part of the draft was like the minute between the Chiefs have traded up and the Chiefs make a pick, because it reminded me a little bit of when they traded up to get Mahomes. You didn't know for sure who it was, but you know, if Andy Reid's trading up, it's probably going to be for an offensive weapon. So that was super excited. So all my Chiefs fans are very happy that they seem to have a speedy deep threat who can actually catch the ball. So,
well, because yeah, this is their ancestry, right? Tyreek Hill to Kadarius Toney to now Xavier Worthy, right? It's a you can draw the line. Yeah, and again, the shout out Mike Greenberg. Yeah, I just thought he was great. He so got it in the moment. Nobody else seemed to on the panel. He's like, no, you just don't understand what happened. The Bills need a wideout and traded that pick to the team they've been chasing desperately all these years, who then drafted Xavier Worthy a wideout. This is incredible. Fastest wideout in the draft. All right, to the other football, the beautiful game, the global football. Yeah. Liverpool lost. Have we had we have Felica coming up. Do we have a health check on Felica about this?
I have been afraid to text him anything. This is one of those, you know, something bad happens to somebody, you just kind of let him be and they'll reopen the lines of communication when they're ready.
Yeah.
So I'm going to listen with you and make sure he's okay before texting him about it. But yeah, they're pretty much out of the title race, like plus 3,500 to win the title now, well behind Arsenal and City.
Wow. Man City minus 250, Arsenal plus 225, Liverpool 35-1. It is over. Everton, was that who beat them? Everton beat them?
Yeah, big rivalry. Yep.
Jeez. Wow. All right. What do we got this weekend, sir?
We're going to start with the Everton game. Everton-Brentford is on Saturday. I'm going over 2.5 at minus 120. I know Everton is dead last in total goals this season, but it's still about 2.5 per game on average. Two-thirds of Brentford games have had 3-plus goals. That's fifth most in the league. I think both these teams will loosen up after Everton's win over Liverpool. Everton's not completely safe from relegation, but it would take a very unlikely series of events for them to get relegated. So they're virtually safe. So yeah, just like the trend of goals all season, I think that's what we have here. So minus 120 on an over 2.5 is always going to look good to me the rest of the year.
It is an official Paul Carr segment. We have an over 2.5, Everton and Brentford tomorrow. And then you have a thought on Newcastle and Sheffield United.
Yeah, both these next two plays are, again, I reference this, but it's the Dr. Bob quote about if you must win, you must not be very good. So Sheffield United is relegated with a loss here. So, you know, in theory, there's some desperation. But look, they're just not good. Newcastle, I'm going to lay the goal and a half plus 125. They're the fifth best team at home this season. Multiple goals in 2/3 of their home games. And if you throw out the top three teams, they've won half of their home games by multiple goals. So it's fairly straightforward here. Sheffield, not very good, even worse on the road. Fewest goals, worst goal difference on the road this season. I know Newcastle's a little bit tired and battling some injuries, but they're just that much better. They're at home. I'll lay the goal and a half here.
All right, and then speaking of Man City, and let me just go to the Premier League table. So right now, Arsenal with 77 points, 4 games left. Man City, 76 points, but 5 matches left. You have a play on Man City here.
So City just won at Brighton 4-0 earlier during the midweek. Brighton is a lot better than Nottingham Forest. And now City is going to Nottingham Forest. And to lay a goal and a half, you can get minus 115, minus 120 maybe on Sunday. I have played that. Forest, again, much worse than Brighton. City's just starting to cook. They've won their last 4 by a combined 17-4. And those aren't fluky numbers compared to what their expected goals and their shots look like. They've won half their league games by multiple goals. And they've won all 11 games versus the bottom 6 teams. And 8 of those 11 were by multiple goals. So this is pretty straightforward. City crushes weaker opponents. And they're obviously chasing down the titles. So they need to keep cooking. And they don't have Champions League to worry about because they're out of that. So there's no, you know, looking ahead to next week in the semifinals because City just has this title to focus on. So I'll lay the goal and a half at minus 115 with Man City at Nottingham Forest.
All right. Everton, Brentford, over 2.5 goals tomorrow. Newcastle giving up the goal and a half, minus 1.5 plus money versus Sheffield United. And then Sunday, Man City laying the goal and a half at Nottingham Forest. Paul, always a pleasure, man. Thank you so much.
You bet. We'll talk to you next week. Champions League semifinals.
Yes. Looking forward to that.
Oh,
Paul Carr, everybody. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You know, I buried the headline. You know what the most entertaining, I should say that. By entertaining, I mean most cringy part of the draft was last night. The very first thing that happened, Goodell comes out. They're booing him. Then they bring out Eminem, and Goodell refers to Eminem as, "Get out here, M." And I'm like, oh, okay. Hey,
somehow you missed all the commercials for the past 2 weeks.
Sakes, he called him M. Chris Felica next.